Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 8:13. Dina Diamond, a very good morning to you. How are you?
And to you, I'm very good. I'm just very sad that Sana left us yesterday. It's going to be raining the whole week.
The whole week, according to Simon Gear. And he knows his stuff. I'll make it up, but he actually knows.
Well, Doris, so does the app on the iPhone.
No, not according to him, by the way.
Really? Well, I've often looked outside and it's clear blue skies and it's raining on my phone.
Exactly. Who do you believe? Who do you believe?
Exactly.
You believe your phone because your phone's never lied to you.
If I never.
Right. Exactly. So, apparently he says our South African weather services actually is the best place to go and they are incredibly accurate. So, and I don't think he was paid to say that. He just said that. He says because there they've got real people looking at the information rather than on the iPhone or Android, whatever it would be, where they just sort of plugging into this whole thing. Either way, that's an aside. The sad news, of course, besides Summer leaving us over the weekend, I can't tell you I was that sad because I was finding the heat unbearable. But the other sad thing, of course, was the death of Larry King. He was a giant and he was a massive, massive brand in his own right, wasn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, when I heard he died, I think anyone who used to watch him, and I mean, he was on the air for 25 years on CNN, and he was basically synonymous with CNN. That's what Christian Amanpour, obviously, who's the head of the bureau chief, said. And I mean, he was just such an icon. He was absolutely a massive brand. And he was part of CNN. Like, I actually think that, I mean, he used to have over a million viewers. He was one of the highest paid men in journalism. He earned, I think he got a contract of over $7 million a year. He had a net wealth of about $144 million when he passed. He was just such a legend that it wasn't that he had to beg guests to come onto his show. People wanted to be on his show. I mean, he interviewed every single sitting U.S. president, from President Ford to Barack Obama, and they all wanted to be on his show, and that was such a unique aspect of an interviewer, and especially on a television show where you're going to be interviewed, you're going to be grilled, but no one ever felt that they were grilled by him. In fact, he was actually criticized for having too soft an approach.
It's true, but that's very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he interviewed Nelson Mandela. He interviewed, I mean, Oprah Winfrey. The tributes that came in were unbelievable. I mean, even Putin weighed in on his death and said that he was a consummate professional and was very sad of his passing. I mean, literally the tributes were just a flow, an absolute flood of them.
So tell us about his life. Tell us about how he started and how he built this brand, this massive brand that was himself.
Yeah, so absolutely, he completely built his own brand, and that's what he was, and that's what drew people to him, and the numbers, the networks, etc. So I have to tell you that he wasn't born Larry King, because I actually did wonder this. So he was actually born Lawrence Harvey Zeger, and he was actually born in Brooklyn, and he was the son of immigrants.
Lawrence Harvey who?
Lawrence Harvey Zeger.
Yeah, I think Larry King is definitely.
Z-E-I-G-E-R.
Yeah, Larry King is definitely good.
Yeah, in fact, when his name changed, actually, so I'll say, so he was born, obviously, in Brooklyn, and in 1933 to Jewish religious immigrants from Lithuania and Poland. And he had actually, his dad passed when he was actually very young, when he was like 9 years old. And he sort of like dropped, he wasn't very like good at school, and he actually landed up like not being so, like so sort of diligent, I should say. And then what happened was that he decided, no, he always wanted to be a disc jockey. And then he actually decided in 1957, he moved to Miami, and that's where he changed his surname. Because as soon as he went to the radio station, it was called Warren Miami. He was about to go on air. He had like 5 minutes left to go on air. And his boss called him in at the radio station and he said, you know, you can't use Larry Zeger. It's far too ethnic and you have to actually look for another name. And apparently there was a Herald open, a Miami Herald that was open on the desk. And there was a big ad for King's Wholesale Liquors. And the general manager looked down and said, King, how about Larry King?
That's
and that's where his name came from.
Wow, wow, wow. So again, got to be very grateful for alcohol.
Absolutely.
See, that's what I took from that story.
Yeah, I'm glad that out of all of that, that is what you took. But you know, another amazing thing, I don't know if people do know this, but one thing he was actually infamous for was that he married 8 times to 7 women. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't. I quite the guy.
How do you not know that?
That's wow. Well, fabulous. That's why they called him king, yeah. It's good to be the king.
He actually got married the first time was he was 19 years old to his high school sweetheart, which got annulled because apparently her parents weren't so thrilled about the wedding.
Right.
And, but then he continued to marry pretty much, I would say he had marriages for the next, yeah.
He married everybody, yeah.
He pretty much did. He said he married for love, but he didn't love the same people at 20. He actually even said this. He didn't love the same. Love at 20 was for him was very different to love at 30, which was very different to love at 40, which was different to love at 50. So I mean, he was a total character, and I mean, you would look at him. He was also iconic for those big like owl-like glasses that he had,
and braces,
and his braces. Absolutely. In fact, when he came to South Africa and he was invited to Nelson Mandela's house. And when he got to his house, Nelson Mandela was wearing braces.
Oh, I love that.
In honor of him.
I love that. That's incredible. What a great story that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he just had that warmth and that sort of magnetism that drew people to him. I mean, he even interviewed people. I mean, when you say he did, he interviewed every celebrity, every president. He interviewed Meghan Markle about her role and Suits interview. He also interviewed Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
I think he was quite undiscerning, non-discerning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible.
And he was completely diverse. Yeah. So just on his marriages, he did actually marry pretty much every 2-3 years, four years.
And then he
had from school teachers to TV producers to Playboy bunnies, who he married twice, divorced, married someone else in the middle, and then married someone else, then married her again, divorced her.
Oh, is that why 7 and 8? I was trying to figure that.
Yes. He married the same woman twice.
Twice. Okay.
He thought he'd try it again.
Yes. If at first you don't succeed.
Exactly. But his last wife was actually, he was actually married to her for very long. He was actually married to her for 22 years.
Wow.
Her name was Shawn Southwick. I mean, they're all magnificent, every single one of them. I think predominantly blonde, so clearly he was a blonde fan. And also if you see pictures of her, I mean, she's absolutely exquisite. But then he decided to divorce her as well. When he was like, in his late 70s. I mean, it's just so funny. So he really was
a very, very much larger than life character.
Absolutely. But as I say, like he just literally drew people to him. And, what was amazing is that even like, I think Kirstie Alley from Cheers tweeted in and she said that, you know, he was actually the only talk show host that would let you speak.
Oh, that's funny. That's amazing. Note to self. Yeah. Right.
No, but that's what, and I think he just had that natural, casual, sort of sense about him. So what he actually did, he did start as a disc jockey. He started as a DJ on radio in Miami. And then from there, he actually got syndicated and he had a late night show. From 1978, he actually had his own show called The Larry King Show. And then he was actually spotted by Ted Turner and CNN in 1985. So you have to understand that CNN only started in 1980. I mean, we think of it as this massive global
that it's always been around, yeah.
Yeah, but actually it only started in, only started in 1980 and they brought Larry King on in 1985. So he had this massive following of late night callers and an actual radio show. And then he started this late night, talk show and interviews where half of it was him interviewing and half of it was actually people phoning in. And he just had such a wonderful personality that he landed up literally attracting over 1 million viewers an evening, every single night, 6 days a week. And there was no broadcast. podcaster that could do that. No one that could pull those people in. And he actually, when it came to where he was also very quite famous for, was the O.J. Simpson trial, because he followed it. It was actually the first time. I mean, I know now reality TV is completely prolific, but at that point, it really wasn't such a big thing. But the O.J. Simpson, I don't know if you remember, obviously you do remember, is the chase when you saw the helicopter.
Yes, through Los Angeles.
Yeah, and you saw the helicopter footage of chasing O.J. Simpson, and eventually they caught him, and then he went on trial. And Larry King, every single evening after the trial, would get all the experts, the witnesses, the lawyers onto his show, and they would break down the trial. And that had a massive also brand building aspect for him. I mean, not that he didn't have the audience, he completely did, but even at the end of the trial, O.J. Simpson called in himself and said, thank you for the balanced approach to my trial. I mean, amazing.
Yeah, that is phenomenal that he was able to do what he did and get information out of people and sort of almost showcase who they were, but without offending or without making it himself to be the villain in all of this.
No, absolutely. And a lot of talk show hosts do that. A lot of them, especially on TV, they're there to ask the hard questions, they're there to interrogate. Yeah, like, I mean, like Christiana Mampur, I mean, she herself is a brand, but she's known to be hard. She's known to be almost like aggressive. Whereas Larry King was seen as almost, I think Celine Dion even said something about it. She said, you just felt you were talking to an old friend. And, Oprah Winfrey tweeted that it was a treat to sit at your table and hear your stories. So those are the stories that are coming in from celebrities across the world. I mean, Ryan Seacrest even said, we lost a dear friend and mentor, truly an American treasure. And that is a brand that he created, an actual American treasure, because he was seen as the voice of America, and approachable, and no matter apparently whoever he interviewed, from a commoner, and he did, to celebrities, sports stars, Michael Jordan loved him. I mean, so
is there a brand comparable to him in the United States at the moment?
I don't think so. I think that Oprah Winfrey in her own self as a talk show, I mean, which was a different format, and obviously created her own format on her own platform. But I don't think, if you look at all of the interviewers and you look at all of the current, I mean, so CNN also had a huge impact, I think, on creating the brand of Larry King, because they had the distribution. So he was broadcast originally, I think, about 28 cities, and then went over 200 cities, and then had millions of viewers around the world. So CNN definitely contributed to it. So I would say, if we had to look comparatively, you've got the likes of what's his name? The one who always travels. I've gone blank on his name. I'll think about it right now.
Richard.
Richard Quest. Yes. So I think Richard Quest has got some element of it, but he's got a very different genre to what Larry King had.
Yes.
You know, whereas Larry was like, I'm here, and people would say, okay, I want to come. And he never had to ask twice for an interview. And you've got Christiana Mampur, who goes and specifically asks the hard questions to the politicians, to leaders, to all these dictators, etc. So I think Larry was almost that middle ground. So I don't think there is anyone that does
I'd love to hear from you, 34519 or 0618951019. Can you think of anybody in the United States? You can include other areas as well if you want, that has as strong a interviewing brand as Larry King did. It's really a fascinating, really fascinating, and I think a great loss.
Yeah, and also not only that, but he just absolutely endeared himself to everyone. So even there's a guy named Craig Ferguson, who is the CBS late night host, and he said, he goes, he was a true mensch. And he says, he probably even taught me that word.
Amazing.
And
absolutely.
Wolf Blitz also called him a mensch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the love. That word mensch just encompasses for me everything that he probably was in terms of just being a wonderful, endearing. I mean, even with his eight marriages, he obviously just had a way with people that he also felt that people felt that they could talk to him, and he could ask hard questions, but it was never in a way that that felt, made his guests feel threatened, which I think is very unique because that doesn't happen today. Even if you look at any of the news networks, I think they try and emulate it. They try and get it, but he literally for 25 years did, I think, over 50,000 interviews. I mean, that's a crazy amount of interviews.
Absolutely. And, yeah. Incredible.
And then he also wrote. Yeah. So he was a brand. He wrote for newspapers. He wrote some books. He started a foundation because he actually suffered a cardiac arrest. So he had a quadruple bypass. So he had a charity that he supported for people who couldn't afford it. So people really just loved him, and that brand was just so strong. I don't think it could be replicated at the moment.
Fascinating. Dina Diamond, thank you as always. Great to speak to you. Have a great week.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.